his eyes of mercy have somehow looked into these eyes of mine, and he forgave me. And all at once the sun began to shine. Satan told me that I'd fail, told me what I'd be. Jesus saved my soul from hell on a cross at Calvary. Now I'm free,
because Jesus lives in me. Free. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, I'm free, so free because of him.
Those broken dreams, like shattered pieces scattered all around, and all those chances without a prayer. Looking back at where I've been to where I am today, never be that man again. Jesus washed my sins away. Now I'm
free, because Jesus lives in me. Free.
Church was the scene. Daddy would preach, Mama would sing. I remember it well, how the blessings fell like rain. Folks would gather in from miles around, singing and praying till the fire came down. It all seemed so much easier then, back for this modern day religion.
But I still believe in the old way.
I still follow
in the landmarks our fathers set.
They
pioneered the way with no fear or regret. And I still believe in the old way. Lord above for his blessings each day. I'm holding to tradition and I just can't leave. Still I believe.
There was a time when a man was as good as his word. Hearts would take heed to the good things they heard. Love and trust in the Lord was a way of life. But everything's changing for the better, they say. Want to show the world a better way. But deep in my heart, it's plain to see that old-fashioned way's the only way for me.
And I still believe
Appreciate that singing. Say amen. 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 I'm glad I'm free. It's come time for our second message this morning. It's good to have Brother Scott Hooks. He pastors the Tabernacle Baptist Church over in Hickory, North Carolina. And appreciate this man. I listen to him a lot on the radio, traveling the church. He is preaching one Sunday morning out of Genesis. And preaching about Lot and Abraham is a touch in my heart. It helped me. And I text him to let him know. And I appreciate his preaching. They also have a Christian school there. And our son's been blessed to be able to work there this past year. And we appreciate the work they're doing in our area. I want you to hear him gladly. He's going to preach to us about 30 minutes. Amen, Brother Scott. It's good to have you.
Thank you.
Bless your heart.
God bless you. Thank you. We love you.
It's good to be here today. How many of you glad you're saved? And have you enjoyed the singing and the preaching already? I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Are you thankful for the goodness of the Lord this morning? And I am so grateful for God's mercy and His grace. And this coming Lord's Day, our family will be reflecting on our ninth anniversary that God has brought us here to North Carolina from East Tennessee. And I appreciate our church family for enduring for a while and putting up with me. And I'm grateful to God to be here in Hickory and Taylorsville area. Appreciate Brother Dagenhart. I had the opportunity to be in this meeting a few times over the years. I have a lot of friends. I have some friends who are here. I'm grateful for your friendship. And I have folks that I hope to be my friends, and we're all going to be in heaven together, so we might as well get used to it now, right? Amen. And enjoy one another. Sometimes preachers don't get along too well. That's a real shame, isn't it? That's a real shame. And I know some who don't. I don't want to be in that number. Do you? And I know some Christians who don't, too. In fact, I know some church members who don't. Do you? And may God in heaven help us. And only by pride cometh contention. And so may the Lord help us. We're going to be in heaven together, serving the Lord together. And I'm thankful to God for that. Appreciate again, Brother Dagenhart. We've enjoyed having Jordan as a part of our school faculty and teaching music. And he's done a tremendous job. And his choirs are doing great there at school and winning awards in North Carolina. And we're so grateful to God for the spirit and the blessing that he's been to our school. I appreciate, too, some of our church family being here today. And bless their hearts, they have to listen to me a lot, and they're still here. Isn't that a blessing? If you have the Word of God with you, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter number 7. Ezra chapter number 7. And I'm sure that our folks are going to find it hard to believe that I can preach for 30 minutes. But we're going to work at it. Amen. Ezra chapter number 7. I want to read one verse of Scripture and verse number 10 in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter number 7 and verse number 10. And the Bible tells us that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful that we can come to your throne of grace. As we come to you through the blood of Jesus, as we draw nigh with one accord, with full assurance of faith, we come together seeking that the blessed Holy Spirit would quicken our hearts and minds, that we might receive all that you have for us, not only in this moment, but throughout this day, and throughout the week and the week to follow in this camp meeting. I pray, Holy Ghost, that you would have your will and way. I pray that you would empower me and fill me this day as your servant to speak the words that you would have me to say. And I pray as the Word of God is proclaimed in this place that we would be ready hearers who would respond in obedience by faith to you. And we pray that Christ would be honored and glorified and exalted in this place and in every life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Nehemiah, and how God used a man like Nehemiah to do a work for him. And to go into a city where God's name had once gloriously been proclaimed and God's presence was richly enjoyed, to go into such a place like that, that at that time belonged not to the people of God, but to the pagans and the heathens who had erected the altars to the false gods that they worshiped, who had silenced the voice of the prophets and the preachers, and who had led the people astray and created a cosmopolitan city where everything was welcome but the proclamation of the Word of God. Amen. Sounds a little bit like the nation we find ourselves living in this hour, where it seems like every religion and every god and every doctrine and every thought of science and every thought of philosophy is welcome, but what thus saith the Lord is no longer welcomed in the public arena. And here is a man named Ezra who was living in that time period of the return of the Jews from Babylonian captivity. And he is coming as a ready scribe of the tribe of the Levites, who has a responsibility to teach and proclaim what God has said. Because God wants to do a work of restoration and a work of revival among his people in Jerusalem. And the challenges will be great. But God is going to use this man Ezra to preach and teach the Word of God. And I want to say that God wants to use every pastor, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what circumstances you're going through. Isn't it a blessing? Isn't it a privilege that you and I have been called of God and we stand before the people of God week in and week out, and we have the wonderful responsibility and the wonderful privilege to preach what thus saith the Lord. Paul, writing to his son Timothy, said to him that the Word of God is sufficient. That word is sufficient for salvation. I'm glad that when I heard the word as a 7-year-old boy at a Bible school in Knoxville, Tennessee, I responded by faith and I was saved by the wonderful grace of God. The Lord did a transforming work in my life. I was saved by the word of God. I am begotten by the word. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the word of God can not only save lost sinners, but it can sanctify those who know the Lord. It can transform their lives so that they would no longer be conformed to this world, but that they would be transformed by the renewing of their mind as they feed upon the word of God and yield to the word of God with faith and obedience. God can change them. And Paul, writing to Timothy there, he said, Timothy, I want you to understand the thing the people of Ephesus need is not more philosophy. It is not more entertainment. It is not more talk show type of lecturing that they need. It is the preaching of the word. And it is the word that will bring sinners to Jesus. It is the word that will transform the hearts of the saints. You think you're dealing with problems, Timothy, in your church, and people are carried away by the culture of Ephesus. I want you to know there's only one thing that can deliver them. There's only one thing that can transform them. It is the preaching of the word of God. And I want to say in this hour, we don't need less of the Bible. We don't need less Bible preaching. We need more than we've ever had. And God has given you the wonderful privilege and the wonderful responsibility of preaching and teaching the Word of God. And by the way, you may say, I'm not a God-called preacher, I'm not a pastor. But I want to tell you, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you have people in your influence, you're the only preacher some will ever know. Sir, you're to be the preacher in your home. Ma'am, you're to be the preacher to your children. And a young person, you're to be that preacher to your friends and your family members, those that you go to school with, those that you work with. May God help us to understand the responsibility lies with all of us that we would be faithful preachers and teachers of the Word of God. And so the Bible says that Ezra came in that time, a very critical time in the history of the nation of Israel. And we're living in a critical hour. I believe we're living without doubt in the last days. But I want to tell you, I refuse to accept the thinking of some that we're just to bunker down and hold on tight until Jesus comes. I believe we are to occupy until He comes. I believe we are to preach the gospel. The Word of God has not lost its power. It's just that we're not proclaiming it. And may the Lord help us to do so. I want to give you three things that we find in these verses. I invite you to write them down if you would like to. As we think of Ezra, this teacher of the law, I want you to notice, first of all, the preparation of his heart. The Bible said, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. I'm glad for meetings like this. I'm grateful for revival meetings that I've attended and Bible conferences that I've been a part of. I'm grateful for the preaching of the Word of God. But I fear that too many times I've come to a meeting, I've come to my Bible perhaps, and I have not prepared my heart to seek the Lord. And so I want us to see, first of all, the preparation of his heart. The preparation of his heart. To prepare means to make ready. Some of you ladies, and I'm sure some of you husbands who live with your wives can appreciate this. To prepare means to clean and to wash. It means to put things in order. It means to throw things out. It means to get the things out of our lives that don't belong there. It means to pursue with discipline an earnest effort to prepare the heart. If there's one place I don't enjoy being at a certain time, that is in my house when company is coming. I don't think my wife would be too upset with me today, although she's not with me this morning, if I confess to you that she gets a little stressful about company coming and she wants everything to be right and everything to be in place and everything to be clean. And may God help us to be that diligent when it comes to our own hearts and our own lives as we come into the presence of God and God speaks to us through His Word. May we set some things in order in our own heart. May we take some time to get some things out of our lives that no longer need to be there. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. To seek means to inquire, to examine. It goes beyond just a knowledge of God, and it involves a hunger for God. A hunger for the Lord. A hunger for the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 35, the Bible says that Jacob commanded his household to put away the strange gods among them. He was getting ready to go back into the land. He had been in Paddan Aram with his father-in-law, and God had blessed him, and God had multiplied him, but now it was time to separate. It was time to go back to Canaan. And he said to his wife and to his children, his wives rather, and his children, he said, it's time to put those things away. We're going to meet the Lord. Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 10, the Bible said, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. God said, I'm coming to meet with my people. I'm coming to visit you, and you need to be prepared. You need to be clean. You need to be right. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 5, Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Wouldn't you like to see God do some wonders among us? Maybe God would help us to understand our responsibility to prepare our hearts to seek the law of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 20, Paul writing to Timothy said, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Don't you want to be a vessel unto honor? Don't you want God to use you in your pulpit? Don't you want God to use you in your home? Don't you want God to use you in your marriage? Don't you want to be a vessel unto honor, serving the Lord in your local church, being used of Him, ready for His disposal? Anytime He needs you, He can just take you right off the shelf and He can use you in His work and in His glory. Paul said, if that's what you want for your life, then you have to purge yourself from these. You'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work. And so he says, flee also youthful lust. As someone has told me, he said, youthful lust never go away, no matter how old you become. They're the youth, Spurgeon said, that are inflamed and realized in our hearts, in our youth, but they never cease to exist. And Paul said, flee those things, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. May God help us to prepare our hearts to seek Him. We are to be clean. We are to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. I want you to see not only the preparation of his heart, but I want you to see a second thing. I think it's very important. In fact, I think it's the key of this passage. If you look here in the middle, the very center of verse number 10, the Bible said Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. I want to say about my generation, we've grown up hearing some of the great preachers. We've been in meetings like this many days throughout our lives. We know every song in the Red Back Book. We know it by heart. We know the old-fashioned way and the old-time way, and we're on the old path, and thank God for that. We believe the Bible is the Word of God from cover to cover. And we thank God for it. Not only that it's inspired, but it's been preserved and it's handed down to us, and we have it today. Thank God for that. But it seems like sometimes we have we just take more joy in wearing the uniform than we do playing the game. God said, I did not give you my word so you could just say, I'm glad I have the word. He did not just say, I want you to have my word so you can use it as a relic you can preach about. You can preach about the translation of it. You can talk about your convictions about it. He said, I want to give you my word so that you may do it. Amen. You may do it. pastors who have families and wives and children at home, you understand when you preach the Bible, those kids and your wife, they know you pretty well. They know you. But they don't know you as good as God knows you. And the Lord said, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Here we see the activation of his will. I'm glad that our emotions get stirred. I'm glad that God does a work in my emotional being. And I can enjoy worshiping God. And I can rejoice. There are times when I want to shout. There are times when I raise my hand. There are times when I can't do anything but just sit there and cry. There are times when the Spirit of God speaks to me in such a way, it's a somber reflection upon my own life and deep conviction sets in. And I'm thankful that God works in my emotion and in my heart, but God is most interested in working in my will. So that I might not just say that's right, but so that I might do right. So that I might do right. And I think, again, one of the problems with my crowd, my generation is, I fear that we've grown up around some of this and we haven't put a lot of practice. Haven't put a lot of practice to it. He said to do it. James chapter 1, verse number 22, the Bible says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, it's possible for us to have everything right and deceive our own hearts. For if any be the hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. I don't like to look at myself too much. I think you can see why. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. The key to the blessing is being a hearer and a doer. He said, if you look in the mirror and you see, man, you got problems, then you have to give those problems attention. If you fail to give those problems attention and you simply say, man, there's the problem and the mirror is right. I believe what the mirror has said, but there is no obedience to what the mirror has reflected upon you and what you see you need to do as you look into the perfect law of liberty. Then you have become simply a hearer and not a doer. You forget what manner of man you are. In Matthew chapter number 7, Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not should be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. You see, there are two men who are building their house. One builds his house on the solid foundation, the other builds his on the sand. The same storm comes to both of their lives and both of their homes. One stands and one does not. One falls. The wise man built his house on the rock. He's the man who heard the words and who followed through, who obeyed them, who activated his will as the Spirit of God revealed to him the truth. He said yes to the Lord, not just in a meeting, but Monday through Saturday. He said, I'm going to do what God has told me to do in my marital relationship, on the job, in the ministry. I want to be obedient to God in my personal life and in my entertainments. I want to choose to obey God. God said, when the storms come, your house will stand. Your house will stand. You see, our God speaks that we may act. The dilemma that we all face is the dilemma that Paul had when he said, I want to do good, Romans chapter 7. Yes, sir. I really do want to do good. You ever read that passage? You ever said, man, that's exactly how I feel. I want to do good, but I keep doing wrong. And I want to stop doing the wrong thing, but I keep doing it. Have you been there? Are you there today? Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then in chapter 8, he says, oh, I thank God that Jesus Christ has delivered me from this body of death. Aren't you glad to know that? You see, my dilemma is I know I want to do good. I believe the Bible. I believe the Word of God. But sometimes my practice is a little off. And I honestly just don't find within me the power to do it. But within Him is the power. And when I yield myself to Him, and this is not a once and for all, friend. I've learned this is a moment by moment thing. I used to think I might be able to attain a certain level of living where I could just live above it all. But I've come to realize that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. I must learn moment by moment to say yes to God and no to me. Yes to God and no to sin. You see, I must be obedient to God. And that obedience is the channel from which the power of God in His Word and by His Spirit works in me and through me to do, to perform that which I cannot perform. As we yield to Him, the activation of our will. I want you to see a final thing there, the communication of His life. And I realize there are a lot of preachers here, and there are a lot of teachers here. There are a lot of people who love God. And we get excited. I mean, man, we're just chomping at the bit for any opportunity we can to preach. And we're thankful to God that we get to preach. And we have a place and a platform to preach the Word of God. That's a blessing. But I want to say to all of you have that platform. It may not be the same, but you have a platform, as I mentioned a moment ago, on the job, with friends and family, in your home. You have a platform. But the secret is not just that we get to preach. The secret is that it would be an experience that comes into our lives first. That before we tell others what to do, which we're all good at doing, that we would learn to make it our own experience and practice it for ourselves. I want to tell you that I have not mastered that. In fact, I'm far from it. But I'm praying that God by His Spirit will help me to be obedient to Him. You see, Ezra's come at a critical time, and what he's done, he has prepared his heart. He's getting the things out that don't need to be there. He's trying to clean up and get right as he worships God. And he's activating his will. God, you said it, I'm going to do it. Now we see the communication of his life. He said, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. How had those people gotten so far from what God designed? Because they had gotten away from the teaching of the statutes and the judgments of God. How did they swallow everything coming and going? How did America and how do our churches? How in the world is it that our churches have swallowed the things that they swallowed in this hour? It is because there has been some neglect somewhere down the line to preach and to teach the Word of God. We've exchanged doctrine for feelings and entertainment. And we are where we are. And may God help us to renew our commitment to teach the law and the statutes of the Word of God. May we teach and preach His Word. Paul said to Timothy, that Scripture is sufficient for salvation. It is sufficient for the transformation of the believer. It's an ongoing process in their lives. And then he said in chapter 4, he said, preach the Word. It is sufficient for proclamation. We're to preach it. We don't have to sit around and invent things to do. We don't have to conjure up things to do to keep people interested. We don't have to try to even, you know, get something from God that nobody else has gotten that'll entertain our people and they'll be enthralled with us. Oh, no. All we have to do is get inside the pages of the Word of God and let God speak to us. And as God has spoken to us, may we speak to them. The communication of His life. He said to teach. It means to make them know. To make them know. Without the vision, the people perish. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. To make them know. To give them understanding. You see, teaching and preaching of the Word of God, it informs the mind. It dispels ignorance. It corrects error. It illuminates the darkness.
It transforms the heart and it changes the behavior. Far too long we've tried to go from the back end of that, telling everybody how to behave, but the need that they have is not necessarily to know how to behave, although we have to work that. The need they have is getting it in their heart. The communication of his life, not just when he stood before the people on that pulpit of wood and proclaimed to them in Nehemiah chapter 8, but every day you're preaching a sermon to somebody. Every situation that you deal with, every trouble in your home, every prickly issue in your church, you're preaching a sermon to someone. The communication of his life. I think about that Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter number 8. The Bible tells us in Acts 8 and verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Here's this man. And notice what he's doing, this eunuch. He was sitting in his chariot and he was reading Esaias the prophet. He's reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. Can I tell you, they're sitting in chariots all around. They're out there. They're out there. And would to God we'd have as much zeal to speak to them as we would a crowd like this. They're out there. And they're saying, how can I know except some man guide me? And by the way, when you have a guide, you want somebody who knows where he's going? Absolutely. Do you know where you're going? Thank God for that. Then let's be guides. Let's be guides. I think about Paul and Barnabas there in Antioch. The Bible says in verse 26 of Acts chapter number 11, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. That's Barnabas. He went to get Saul there and bring him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now that must have been some kind of church. You didn't have to put an advertisement out to talk about how great your church was. In fact, the people of Antioch took such note of it, they said, those people are Christians. And they didn't mean it in a good way. They meant it in a scornful way. Wouldn't it be would our community know that we were Christians if we didn't have a sign outside? They were called Christians. And what transformed their lives in such a way? It was the constant preaching and teaching. Preacher, you're doing more good than you imagine you're doing. The Word of God will not return void. Keep preaching and teaching the Bible. Mom, those kids, they may not be behaving today just like you want them to be, but you keep loving them and you keep pouring God's Word into their heart. And I promise you, you're going to see some results. The Word of God will not return void. And may God help us. We need to preach and teach the Word of God. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Aren't you glad that Paul poured his life into this young man, Timothy, and said, Timothy, by the way, more than Timothy, but he said to Timothy, you find some people, pour your life into them. And you tell them when they find those people, they need to pour their life into them. And then when they find those people, they need to pour their life and the truth of the Word of God into them. And here we are 2,000 years later in Taylorsville, North Carolina, in a beautiful mountain scene. And we know God and we know God's Word. But there's a lost world all around us that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And who's going to teach them? It's us. It is us. And so, may God help us to understand that we must prepare our hearts.